All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
This is the ZABE cast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Monday, May 25, 2026. Yes, I'm here. I'm live, plausibly live, and it is Memorial Day. Thank you for downloading and thank you for listening. I'm probably one of the maybe 4% of independent podcasters putting out fresh content on a day which you would normally be given off, but I took some days off last week, and I feel like I owe you guys. Also, I'm going to get so backed up if I'm not on my regular schedule. There'll be things that I'll be saying to myself, oh, I meant to talk about that, but I forgot, or I ran out of time. The content, people, keeps coming, whether or not I'm here to make sense of it, serve it up, comment on it, or not. So, before we get into it today, the weather in the DMV has been unreal in terms of its suckitude this weekend. We're talking 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a row now where we haven't seen the sun. The last shadow I saw was Wednesday. I mean, think about that. Rained all day on Thursday, rained all day on Friday, rained again all day on Saturday, and then it was cloudy on Sunday. No rain, a little bit of mist. I actually took it as a win. I was able to slip in a lawn mowing, believe it or not, on Sunday. More rain scheduled for today, Monday, and then a chance of rain on Tuesday. Finally going to clear up sometime later in the week. Now, for those of you listening in sunnier climes or places where the weather is not what I just described, you're probably saying, who gives a fuck? Well, I do. This is a me cast. You know this. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to share with you where things are. You got to understand, and for those who do live in the DMV, you got to understand that Memorial Day weekend, it's big because unlike, say, in Wisconsin, where you know Memorial Day weekend is always a roll of the dice. It's always hit or miss. In the DMV, it should be, by all rights, a banger. In fact, the month of May in general, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, they say, well, yeah, you've lived there pretty much your whole life. I'm like, yep. How's the weather? And I go, well, we get the worst of everything, but May is really, really nice. I'm like, April gets you, you know, gets the blood pumping. You're excited. Spring is here. The trees are blooming. The birds are chirping. The grass is growing and getting green. May is the banger month. Usually. This weekend has totally sucked. Now, it could be worse. I had vaguely remembered the 2003 month of May in the D.C. area. So I went to look it up, did a quick search. Was May of 2003 especially rainy? And the answer is, oh, yeah. Like, worse than you can imagine. Not only was it super rainy, it rained on 20, it had measurable rain on 20 of the 31 days. But according to this chart I'm looking at right here off of Reddit, there was no sun. It was either partly or mostly cloudy for the entire month. And they've got a grid of every hour of the day and then every month. And if it's cloudy, they put gray. And the whole month of May is just a big block. It's a block of gray. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So May sucked in 2003. It could be worse. Shut your bitching and let's get to the good stuff. Why don't we start with the Indianapolis 500, the closest ever win. And it was Felix Rosenqvist who was able to eke it out. The 34-year-old Swede with an incredible finish. The zigging, the zagging, the weaving, and then the final pass at the very end. A daring outside move in the closing yards, slingshotting past leader David Malukas. Shake and bake. Did that blow your mind? Because that was real. That just happened. The 0.023 second victory was his second in 120 IndyCar starts, first on an oval, and it came just 20 days after he welcomed his first child, daughter Stella. That's your life right now on a hot streak, all things considered. So, kudos to him. Glad the race was able to finish. I caught a little bit of it between coming back, went to go have lunch with my mom. She's doing great. She says hi to all you guys on the podcast. Came back, noticed it wasn't raining still, and I'm like, shit, I could mow the lawn right now. Let's get it in. Let's get it in, because you never know when it's going to start raining and not stop again. So I didn't see the end of the race. I was watching, though, in between, and I saw where they were in a rain delay, and the then leader, Scott Dixon, his smoke of a wife, was there openly saying, no, there's lightning. It's going to keep raining. Let's just call the race off, because they had run 105 of the 200 laps, and I guess that's enough to make it official. Had to text my boy Ron Thomas, Mr. Indy 500 himself, and I said, is that bad etiquette for the wife of a driver to be openly rooting for a rain out, you know? And he's like, yeah, that's not the best, but said she's a very lovely woman, former Olympic sprinter as well. A little bit of bad form. Anyway, he didn't win. Kudos to Felix Rosenqvist. Dr. Rosenqvist, the Swede with the first name of Felix, for reasons I don't even know. Now, to the more important thing about the Indy 500. Did you see the flyover before the game? And I don't mean the F-14, 16, 18, 15, whatever number it was of the jets high overhead. I'm talking about the helicopters that were hovering just above the track and came right down the closing front stretch across the famous strip of bricks in front of the grandstands. Holy crap!
What a sight. As the 38th Combat Aviation Brigade, UH-60M Blackhawks, fly above the stars and stripes of Santino Ferrucci's AJ Foyt racing car and this entire field.
I mean, that is incredible. As a huge flyover nerd, as somebody who gets pissed if I'm at a stadium and I miss a flyover because I'm late getting to the seats or I've got to go take a pee-pee or I'm getting some nachos, I have relished every flyover I've been lucky enough to see, and I have sort of been sent many clips from people about, oh, have you ever seen this one? I'm a flyover nerd. This is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen. Now, for the pilots of these UH-60 Blackhawks from Indiana's 38th Combat Aviation Brigade, this mission was a piece of cake. Like, this was nothing. They weren't even nervous. Oh, are you nervous flying over a bunch of race cars with million-dollar drivers and we're in close proximity to this? And like, no. We fly these and get shot at all day, every day. We get rocket-propelled grenades coming at us. Yeah, I saw Black Hawk down. What these men do in these machines is insane. But that is a super cool flyover. I wish they would loosen some of the rules for flyovers. Like, I trust that our men in aviation and women are going to not crash into a stadium. Let's lower that permissible limit to where you can go low enough to maybe take some hats off some gentlemen. Because that would be pretty cool. There is one at a Georgia Tech game, I believe it was, in which the pilots actually had their wings clipped by their commanding officer because they went way too low. Way too low, bang, ding, ow, and holy fook. If you know, you know. Elsewhere, the racing world is mourning, of course, the passing of Kyle Busch, the sudden, shocking death out of nowhere, at 41 years old, to Kyle Busch, the latest in a line of what would be called black hat drivers, a great driver who is unapologetic in his, shall we say, aggressive ways, in the iconic Joe Gibbs M&M car. 41 years old, sudden illness. It's now been disclosed it was sepsis. It started as sniffles. He kept driving, he kept racing, kept working through that, turned into pneumonia, full-blown pneumonia. He knew he was in bad shape. He was radioing on his radio, I need a doctor. Turned into sepsis, turned into probably a pulmonary embolism because he was coughing up blood at the end, and now gone. Leaves behind children, a wife, a family, and a grieving sport. It's incredible. He essentially ran himself into the wall health-wise without thinking of, hey, you know what? Maybe take a week off. Talk about the anti-load management. And this is something that all of us men are certain, I think all of us men have a tendency for to a certain degree, that we are steeped in the culture of, I'm going to gut it out. I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to make it so that, you know what? I'm just going to get the job done. But dang it, men, take care of your health. That's why, in retrospect, in addition to at the time I knew it was the right thing to do, me not playing the final round of my golf tournament so I could drive my friend home who was not feeling well was absolutely the right thing, because you just never know. And he was bad enough, and we took him to the ER. I'm like, I'm not going to play golf on a Monday, just hoping he's going to be okay lying in bed, lest this thing, whatever it is he's got, gets out of control. By the way, he is doing quite better now. Said he's had 5 rounds of intravenous antibiotics and says feels great. Says if it weren't for doctor's order, he'd be playing golf right now. And I said, no, you wouldn't. Have you looked out the fucking window? It's raining for the 4th straight day in a row. But yeah, the Kyle Busch thing, man. Let it be a wake-up call to all of us men that, you know what? When your body speaks, listen. When it starts to raise its voice, listen closer. When your body is yelling at you, then stop and take care of yourself. Rest in peace, Kyle Busch. Also rest in peace, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are pretty much cooked at this point, down 3-0 to the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks, once again, won going away. They are on an unbelievable tear right now since falling behind 2-1 in the Atlanta series when it looked like their postseason would be a disaster. And now they haven't lost since. It's like 9 in a row. They're covering pretty much every spread. I think they're covering every spread. I could look this up real quick. Grok. That's what I use. How long is Knicks' playoff win streak, and how many games have they covered the point spread? You know, you're supposed to be doing all this before you go on the air. It's like basic research. Okay, shut your face. I'm working on a Sunday night into a Monday. 10-game playoff win streak, not 9. And the point spread, yes, they're 8-3 in that spread, 72.7%. Mikal Bridges is also on fire. He took a zero, a Blutarski, a zilch in that game 3 against Atlanta. And everyone was saying, oh my God, why do we trade 5 picks for this bum? Right now, in this 9-game run since they last lost, Bridges has a slash line percentage-wise shooting of something like, I'm not exaggerating, like 69, 45, and close to 100 at the line. And it's not like he's playing limited minutes. He's averaging 19 a game. He is on a run. The fans are wanting to have outdoor watch parties in New York City, which has become a thing in North American sports during the summer months for the NHL, for the NBA. And in theory, it'd be a wonderful thing to see a bunch of peaceful Knicks fans out there in the streets around Madison Square Garden rooting on their team if they can't get into the building. But then you'd have to find enough peaceful Knicks fans to not have it turn into mayhem. And already city authorities have said, yeah, we can't have this because it's already getting out of hand. Ticket prices for the first game at Madison Square Garden, barring a miraculous comeback by the Cavaliers, which is not going to happen, are going for, I believe I saw a pair of tickets was sold for close to $550,000. I know there's stupid money in the world. I understand we have more billionaires than ever on this planet. I am a capitalist, even though capitalism has many, many flaws, and I wish it were better. It's still better than every other system out there. But holy cow. Look, it's all stimulus, right? It's all money. It's going to Dolan's bottom line. But if you really want to spend that much money on 2 courtside tickets to a game 1 of the NBA Finals where you may get blown out, it actually wouldn't be game 1 because they'd be the road to, be the first game, so it'd be game 3. Go right ahead. We shall see. Right now, Spurs and Thunder battling it out. I don't have the game on. I'm trying to concentrate and focus on this podcast here. But on the Cavaliers front, a couple things. They're going to have to blow it up. Clearly, it's good. It's just not good enough. They thought about blowing it up last year when it was also good, but not good enough. They've added James Harden in that interim. I think James Harden is not just one of the most overrated superstar players in the history of the league. I think he is the modern-day cancer. Even if he is not doing anything that is making you roll your eyes and go, I can't believe he said that or did this, he's been mostly well-behaved, but he's basketball cancer. And he was the one that got lit up on 9 straight possessions in game 1 when the Cavs had a chance to stun and steal control the series and coughed up a 22-point lead. Now, the coach, Kenny Atkinson, is not doing them any favors either. You could tell in that game 3 loss, at one point in the fourth, the Cavaliers rolled over like a golden retriever and just put their belly out, like, okay, just rub our belly. Teams will do this in best of sevens when they know they don't have the better team. And that's what the Cavaliers did. But leave it to old spin Dr. Kenny to say, incredibly enough, you know, analytically, we've won 2 of the 3 games so far.
Analytically, I think we've won the expected. I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3. And the expected. I don't know if you guys follow that. It was an expected score. You know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking.
By the way, can we stop with these courtside press avails where guys are bouncing basketballs. Like, I don't understand how this is still a thing. Surely there's a room around the corner, or they can just for 10 minutes tell everybody, hey, stop shooting. Have the equipment slappies round up all the basketballs. Anyway, he's imploring the reporters, like, hey, can I get an amen here? You guys follow this stuff. We're winning this spreadsheet battle. The nerds, they love us. 2 out of 3.
Yeah, we're 2 out of 3. And the expected, I don't know if you guys follow that, is that it's an expected score. You know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but I...
No, I'm not.
There is really, you know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, our... So, you know, take that later. I know I don't throw that on them. I see it for myself. I'm like, man.
This looks like some kind of comedy sketch, the way he's trying to spin it and rationalize it. Where is the steely gaze? Where is the square jaw? Of course, Max Strus tried that last year in what would become a Game 5 elimination game for the Cavaliers. He tweeted out, if you don't believe, don't show up to work. That was before the Game 5. He went 0-for-9 in that game, and the Cavaliers lost. So, as somebody put it succinctly, either the New York Knicks somehow found out that they're the best team in the NBA by a huge margin and are steamrolling their way to a title, or this will all go away once they finally meet a real opponent for whoever comes out of the West between the Spurs and the Thunder. That's just how sports is. But that is also why sports is a infinity billion-dollar business. Because you don't know. It's impossible to know. We'll find out soon enough, assuming the Knicks don't blow this one. We shall see. One other item from the NBA. Keith Smith tweets, by making all NBA, Jalen Duren is now eligible to sign a 5-year max deal with the Pistons worth a projected $287 million. That's 30% of the cap. They just announced the all-NBA teams, which is, you know, the NBA is the only league that ties compensation to these press-driven awards like all-NBA. And it's, to me, it's kind of insane that the league was fine with this because it puts incredible financial power in the hands of supposedly neutral observers. But by making all NBA, he unlocks the max deal with the Pistons, which would pay him 49, 53, 57, 61, 65. Duren's previous max with the Pistons was 5 for $239. So this would be another 5 for $287. Well, I'm not sure about that. I have to go to Spot Rack. But either way, Jalen Duren is going to make a ton of money. What's that? Who is he? He's Jalen Duren. You don't know Jalen Duren? Oh, that's right. There's too many.
Why so many Jalen's in the NBA? I think it's way too many Jalen's in the NBA. Went to sleep and it was 10 Jalen's in the NBA. Woke up and now it's 30 Jalen's in the NBA. We got Jalen Smith on the Bulls. Jalen with a wide
play. You know I was going to use any excuse to play this song.
Actually earnest. Tell the truth. That ain't even really scratching the surface. Because there's 607 players on a court playing. 16 teams got a player named Jalen. And it's really 2 Jalen's on 3 teams.
Okay. So there are 16 teams with a player with at least one Jalen on them out of 30. 3 teams have 2 Jalens, and only one of those 3 teams has the Jalen spelled the same way. That would be the Magic with Jalen Suggs and Jalen Slauson. The Brooklyn Nets have Jalen Wilson, J-A-L-E-N, and J-A-Y-L-E-N Martin. And the Thunder have Jalen Williams and J with a Y, L-I-N, Williams. I got 2 Williams.
That's got to be like 50% of the league in the crib trying to figure what it all really means. I know they mama raised them like my son is my king. and I could probably recognize them all by facial. And I wouldn't be surprised if they was all biracial. Look, why so many Jalen's in the NBA?
I don't know. I think it's why so many Jalen's in the NBA?
Went to sleep and it was 30 Jalen's in the NBA. Woke up and now it's 80 Jalen's in the NBA.
All right. I'm enjoying, for the most part, the NBA semis at this point. I'll enjoy the finals, but I don't have a strong rooting interest. I'm rooting against the Thunder a little bit. You know, the Knicks, everyone flops now. That's part of the problem. Brunson's a hell of a player. Make no mistake. He's incredibly crafty, insanely good dribble, but he flops. God, does he flop. He flops sometimes as bad as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA. There was a play in which Max Strus went crazy because he was like, "What? He hooked my arm and then he just fell." And sure enough, when they showed the replay, you're like, "Oh yeah, that's totally that should be fined. They should do something about that. You can't just grab somebody else's arm and then you, while dribbling with your other hand, throw your legs out and fall to the ground. The hell." All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a blackjack guy. Always have been. It's the one casino game where your decisions actually matter. Hit or stand, double down, split. You're not just watching a slot machine and hoping for the best. MyBookie.ag has live dealer blackjack. Real person, on camera, dealing cards in real time. And a full casino beyond that. Roulette, craps, slots, poker, all of it right on your phone. New players get $25 in casino credit just for making a first deposit. Use promo code ZABE. Go try the tables on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart. Get paid. What's up with the Brewers? They're playing great baseball. And they were taking it to the Dodgers over the weekend. And they were having fun doing so. They had fans start the tarps off thing in a upper deck section of the ballpark that was not full. Tarps off meaning young men taking off their shirts, waving them in the air. Whether you are buff, not very many, a little bit doughy, at least most. And in the case of Milwaukee, there's some beefy boys up there. Tarps off. Fun thing. They put it on TV. Fans are going crazy. Other fans are like, I'm going to get up there. I'm going tarps off. Let's get this thing going. And it was the Brewers game ops people who then blocked the entrance to the section to say, no. We don't want anyone else coming up here. Why? Don't give me reasons. Boo. Let the people have fun. Also, if you're going to have a raffle, I know there are rules, but maybe you should have more lenient rules. Get a load of this story. This is from WISN 12 of a Brewer fan who lost a $13,000 raffle prize because she was directed to the wrong kiosk in the concourse and then ran all the way through the concourse up to the next level to arrive at the proper location 66 seconds too late, they said.
Brewers video from July 7th, 2023 shows Annette and Matt Flynn racing from their seats to collect their 50-50 raffle winnings. They had just 6 outs to get to a specific location in the ballpark to claim the prize.
To this day, I don't know why. Those were the rules.
Video they later obtained from the Brewers shows Annette racing through the concourses, literally running. She says an usher sent her to a location on the main floor, not the loge level where she was supposed to go.
So I caught my breath, and then I proceeded to walk up 57 steps to the second floor. Out of breath completely, I get to the table upstairs. Two gentlemen are there. I show them my phone and my ticket, and I said, I'm the winner. I'm here. I said, Bob downstairs sent me up here. And he says, Bob. Looks back at the
Who's
TV
Bob?
Screen and says, oh, no, you weren't here on time. We called another number. I'm like, what do you mean you called another number?
The Flynns filed suit in small claims court, taking issue with the Brewers' timeline.
They said I was late. They said I was 66 seconds late.
The Brewers Community Foundation timeline shows they waited just 15 seconds after the final out before posting that other winning number. But the state appeals court this week ruled in the end it's irrelevant when Annette actually arrived because the Brewers Foundation raffle rules state the foundation has the sole discretion in awarding the prize.
Gives them the luxury of denying anyone for any reason because they have sole discretion. And our attempt now is to have them take that off of there.
Matt says they're still deciding whether to take the case to the state Supreme Court. As evidenced by his T-shirt, Matt remains a diehard fan of the Brewers. But
I'll still be a Brewer fan. But no, this is not right.
As for the foundation and the raffle, not so much.
I don't hold it against the team. The front office. Yeah.
Nick, you know, this is where the owner, Mark Attanasio, billionaire, should step up and go, look, well, should have a long time ago. This is 3 years ago. Should have stepped up and said, okay, you weren't out in the parking lot slamming old styles. You were racing to try to get there. We'll cut you a check for $13,000. Or give them half. Or maybe have the rules of the contest say, you know, we're not going to pull another number until the following game. Or, I don't know, give a little bit more time. If you bought the 50-50 raffle ticket number, trust me, you're invested. Everyone who plays those are like, okay, let's go.
Flynn's did not get the money, but there is one consolation they're proud of.
Right. The Brewers Community Foundation no longer requiring winners to make that dash in six outs to get there in time. Now, winners these days have 30 days to claim that prize. The Flynns say the Brewers did offer them a settlement, but it included a gag order that they objected to. We did reach out to the Brewers for a comment today, but they did not respond.
Okay, so there you go. They were offered something, but it had a gag order. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they thought for sure they had an ironclad case. Maybe their lawyer. Maybe Saul Goodman, their lawyer, said, no, this thing is a lock. Let's take it all the way. Let's take it to the state superior court. We're going to win this thing, and then we'll win more money. Unless the Brewers' offer was pretty shitty. We're going to give you free bratwurst for the rest of the season. And a $100 coupon at the team store. The enhanced games. Have you heard of these? They're basically the steroid Olympics. And they've been going on over the weekend. Where athletes are allowed to use any and all banned substances they want. Of course, this has been a very interesting story. No athletes have actually broken world records. I did search that so far. There was a swimmer who had bulked himself up to absurd proportions for a swimmer. It looked like he was pretty fast, but he was going against nobody else in the pool when I saw the clip. And like I said, there was no world records broken. But according to Polymarket's official account, Enhanced Games data reveal 91% of athletes use testosterone, 79% used HGH, and 62% used stimulants like Adderall and Modafinil. And of course, reminded me of one of the all-time great bits on SNL, Kevin Nealon and the All-Drug Olympics.
In response to what its sponsors claim is an idea whose time has come, the first All-Drug Olympics opened today in Bogota, Colombia. Athletes are allowed to take any substance whatsoever before, after, and even during the competition. So far, 115 world records have been shattered. We go now to correspondent Kevin Nealon, live in Bogota, for the weightlifting finals. Kevin.
Dennis, getting ready to lift now is Sergei Akhmudov of the Soviet Union. His trainer has told me that he's taken anabolic steroids, Novocaine, NyQuil, Darvon, and some sort of fish paralyzer. Also, I believe he's had several cocktails within the last hour or so. All of this, of course, is perfectly legal at the All-Drug Olympics. In fact, it's encouraged. Akhmudov is getting set now. He's going for a clean and jerk of over 1,500 pounds, which would triple the existing world record. That's an awful lot of weight, Dennis, and here he goes.
Ah!
Oh, gotta be disappointing to the big Russian. Some people are saying, look, this is the way the actual Olympics should be. That if you want to engineer your body with drugs, I mean, they try to catch all they can. But there's always people on the edges pushing the envelope. And then there's cheating. And then nations like Russia cheat without shame for the pride of Mother Russia. But no records were actually broken. So how much did it give them an advantage? Eh. At least in these competitions, apparently not much. A reporter for NBC News has gone viral for not the right reasons. It could be more embarrassing, and give her credit, she's leaning into it. Julie Serkin is the reporter in question. She is the correspondent for NBC News and was at the White House on Saturday when a lunatic claiming to be Jesus Christ decided he would make a YOLO run at the security gate leading to the White House where Trump was this weekend, and he was promptly neutralized. Let's put it that way. If you want to hear what neutralized sounds like, here is Ms. Serkin talking about what happened. She went viral because she didn't duck. All the other reporters who were being told, get down, she didn't duck. She just turned around, made a stink face and said, what is that? From TMZ.
Jose, I was outside of these doors on the North Lawn getting ready to tape something for your show when myself and my cameraman, John, we heard what sounded like 20 to 30 shots. At first, we looked at each other and paused and said, what was that? And we actually have that on video. Watch this.
Today, but this obviously comes
just
a couple weeks after.
I mean, sounds like fireworks. Oh, really? You don't hear any bottle rocket-like screams or a larger kaboom, or you don't see fireworks going up? You're just going to stand there not knowing what direction the bullets may be coming from? She seems like a nice gal. She's done the smart thing in that she's leaned into it. She did a video shop to cut herself out and put a green screen behind her. So people are now memeing this to death. But my God, and you report on the White House? You don't think for a second, given all that's happened, that, yeah, it's not 4th of July. Those are gunshots. Get down. Oh, my God. Also, as I saw the video, I said to a buddy, I'm like, look at all the people. Look at all the security swarming the White House grounds. You want to see how many special ops guys and security guys are sleeping up in the canopy of the trees? Just do what this idiot did, and you'll see them all come out like cicadas every 17 years because they were all over the place. And yes, in case you also didn't know, if you try to make a Naruto run at the White House, they're going to mag dump on you because there's no way they needed all those shots to neutralize one guy. But hey, why be safe? Why be... Come on. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get this... I was trying to cue this up. It wasn't hitting pause for me. Very frustrating when the internet does this. We'll pause this for me. Okay. So one of the memes was this guy playing the little bongos that people have made famous over the years. What is that? I've seen so many good memes of things you're like, what is that? Anyway. Julie Serkin, now you know what gunshots sound like. Next time you hear one, assume it's gunshots. Even as, unless it's 4th of July. And even then, keep a keen eye out for what is different between a gunshot and a firework. Non-sports. interesting post, Wall Street Journal. Employers are clamoring for nurse practitioners. At least doctors' offices are. These are workers who can do doctor-like work, but are trained faster and cost less than actual doctors. Somebody responded by saying, if I have to see a nurse practitioner or NP, I want a 50% discount on my bill. This is quite the racket that healthcare providers have devised. Most of the time you go see the doctor, you'll never see a doctor at all. You'll see a nurse practitioner, but they'll still bill you as if you had seen the doctor, even though the nurse practitioners are far less educated and trained and paid much less. I had a recent run-in when I was getting my PSA numbers evaluated at my proctologist's office. I saw a nurse practitioner, a woman who had the bedside manner of Dr. Kevorkian, basically, and she also seemed to be rooting for cancer, which was odd. I'm a nervous Nelly, so I just kind of wanted some reassurance about, okay, your PSA is 4.3. It's beyond the range of what we consider safe, so we're going to order some more tests and maybe an MRI, but, you know, let's not panic. We're on top of this, going to be okay. She goes right into the, well, you know, we have seen some aggressive cancers who first showed up as just over the 4.0 limit. I'm like, geez, did you just say aggressive cancers? Long story short, I did get an MRI and turned out to be clean. Thank God for that. I'm going to stay on it every 6 months, getting my numbers checked, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that said, in general, I don't mind it that the healthcare industry is starting to use more NPs, because at the end of the day, what I did after, you know, Mrs. Kevorkian gave me such a glowing and reassuring analysis of what might be happening, I went straight to AI, I went straight to chat, went straight to Grok, and I learned a hell of a lot more. I even plugged in my past MRI, past PSA numbers, and it put it all out there. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, that's good to know. And I'm sure she neither had the time nor the expertise to give me all that, but at least she was able to then get me set up to go get the MRI. Now, the insurance company is like, oh, yeah, I don't think we're paying for this MRI. Oh, really? Oh, you're not, huh? What the fuck am I paying insurance then for? Huh? Any ideas? And of course, we'll end on a little splash of golf. Wyndham Clark wins the CJ Cup Byron Nelson by 3 shots after shooting one of the all-time low rounds on a Sunday on the PGA Tour, a 60, to overtake Siwoo Kim, who almost had a 58 earlier in the week, but bogeyed 18 and shot 60 himself. There was also a 61 by Sungjae Im. So everyone was going low. The 11-under by Wyndham Clark was good enough to not only take over Siwoo Kim, but also defending champion Scott Scheffler after starting the day tied with the top-ranked hometown favorite. Yes, I called him Scott Scheffler. I'm going to try to get this to be a thing because I'm not going to call a grown-ass man Scotty anymore. It's outrageous. Scott Scheffler, good golfer, world's number one, has a wild swing at times. Good friends with Siwoo Kim, who his English is kind of good. It's not great. And they were like, yeah, Scheffler and Siwoo are real good friends because they're both Dallas guys. They play a lot of rounds together. I'm thinking to myself, well, then either Siwoo's got better casual English with Scheffler than he does with the press, or they don't say much when they're playing. Wyndham Clark is a total Todd, though. He's the guy that smashed the lockers at Oakmont at the U.S. Open 2 years ago. And he is also, 2 years ago or last year? Last year, yeah. And he is also the guy that nearly injured a volunteer down at Charlotte at the PGA Championship last year by throwing a club. He's a complete dick. He's a good golfer, though. And he went low. But here's the funniest thing. So this course they're at in McKinney, Texas, which I had to look up on a map, and then I instantly realized, holy fuck, Dallas is big. Sent it to a couple of friends, and they're like, yeah, they call it the Metroplex. Didn't you know that? I've been to Dallas for a Super Bowl or two, and I went around a little bit, but I never really fully absorbed the scope of just how big it is. And so I I was looking it up, and this TPC Craig Ranch, which is not TPC Las Colinas, where they used to have this, where they have a statue of Byron Nelson. I have no idea why they moved it away. They redid it in the last year because the course was too easy. We want to hold the tour event here, but it's too easy. Guys are shooting real low. The winner was 31 under par last year. We got to change that. So they bring in Lanny Watkins, and they spend $25 million to redo the course. So get it all done within the span of one calendar year, which is not easy to do. And they managed to lower the winning score by one shot from 31 under to 30 under. But at the end of the day, who cares? It was wet. They had the ball in hand, so they were able to place it for three of the 4 days. Soft fairways, zoysia grass, everything sits up all perfect. Greens were perfect. I mean, it's a TPC course. They're going to go low. $25 million. Seems like a waste of money, but good friend and friend of the podcast, Andrew Green, who will hear this podcast eventually, who makes a living redesigning and spending other people's money to fluff up, improve, and restore old golf courses, some of the best in the world, including major championship venues. That's how he makes his money, so I'm not going to go on a rant, a Bernie Sanders-like rant about what a waste of money, $25 million. They should have done this with it, should have done that with it. Hey, it's the tour's money. Let the players on the players board bring it up with everyone else. Says, why do we spend that money on TPC Craig Ranch? It's still a pitch and putt for us. Hashtag these guys are good. It's almost like they don't have jobs. All they do is they play golf all day. Jesus. All right, that'll do it for me. Holy cow, what a fun ride this was. Just you and me. Bonus Monday. While other podcasters slept in easy, comfortable thinking it's a podcast. I got a day off. It's Memorial Day. You're lucky El Baldo is still very insecure about his place in this world, this ever-changing landscape. And it was raining all fucking weekend here. So what else do I got to do? The podcast. Thanks for listening. Rate and review on your major podcast platforms. I appreciate it very much. Spread the word, tell a friend, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.